All right, well, partial or prudent. We're in James, we're continuing in James. And the last time, and I do thank Don as well for filling in for me last week. In the first part of chapter 2, James gave an illustration about favoritism. We talked about that 2 weeks ago, I think it was. And I'm talking about when people would look at somebody and judge them by the way they look and maybe, you know, put other people to the side, you know, give them the less favorable spot, you know, because they just didn't look as good or whatever. And he talked about that, but now it's kind of the same theme in these verses 5 through 9 of James chapter 2. That's where we're going to be today. But he gave us that, but then now James is showing us the reality of how it affects us when we show favoritism. When we show favoritism to a person over another, and how our responsibility in that, because God holds us accountable for how we treat one another and how we treat people in general. And so let me just read the passage. I think it's five verses. He says, "Listen, my dear brothers, didn't God choose the poor in this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? Yet you dishonored that poor man. Don't the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Don't they blaspheme the noble name that was pronounced over you at your baptism? Indeed, if you keep the royal law prescribed in the scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show favoritism, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors." And so we have this passage, and there's really two parts to it. The first part is 5 through 7. I call this irony for the partial. Irony for the partial. And so verses 5 through 7, you know, James, he wants our attention, and he says, if you notice in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "My brothers, don't show favoritism." And he goes in to that about the guy wearing the gold ring, and you say, "Oh, sit here in the favored place," which was up front. And then when a person came in shabbily, he says, "Go sit over here at the footstool," you know, where people put their feet, which is really an insult, especially in that culture. And he says, "My brothers." But now he shifts gears and he says in verse 5, he says, "Listen, my dear brothers." I mean, he's really wanting their attention. He's showing it. Look, I care about you. I care about how you treat people, because guess what? God cares about how we treat one another and how we treat others. And he says, "My dear brothers." So he says, "Look, I'm kind of chastising you a little bit, but I want you to know I care for you. I love you. And it's for your good that I'm giving you this passage here. That it would be well with you, that you would be pleasing to God, really." And he says, "Listen, my dear brothers." And then we see the three verses, 5, 6, and 7. And in verse 5, we see the choice of God. The choice of God. And he says, "Listen, my dear brothers." Then he says, "Didn't God choose the poor in this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him?" And so we see God chose the poor. And it's not just talking about, you know, get wealth out of your head and start thinking about what Jesus said. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." And I'm going to get into that, because, you know, you can be wealthy and still be poor in spirit and still be favored by God. Okay? So it's not totally about where you're at financially. It's talking about your heart. Are we poor in spirit? And God chose the poor in spirit to be what? Rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom. Do you understand you're an heir of the kingdom? I mean, we have a God. He's our king. And he rules over the universe. And when we accept Christ as our Savior, we become joint heirs, the Bible says, with the Son of God. And that means all what God has is ours. you know, ponder that for a little bit, because that's pretty amazing, really. I mean, who are we? I mean, we are people that have done things wrong in our life, that have displeased God in our life. We are deserving of punishment, and yet God says, you know what? I love you so much. Because of your faith, I'm going to make you joint heir. You're going to have everything I have. That's an amazing, amazing thing. And I think sometimes we just kind of not think about that so much. We get caught up in our lives, and rightfully so. Most of us, we got things going on in our life. Some things are good. Some things are things we'd rather not deal with. But we have to deal with them. We have to live and do the things that we do and take care of situations and deal with circumstances in our life. And yet, in the midst of all that, sometimes we kind of forget that we're joint heirs. We forget that there's more to it than this life. And so James is kind of reminding us, you know, he chose the poor in this world to be rich in faith. How's your faith today? How's your faith? Have you got things going on that's maybe shaking you a little bit? Have you got things going on that's got your attention on those things and you've kind of got your attention off of the Lord? I mean, we got to always remember to maintain our faith in God. And no matter what's going on around us, no matter what's happening in our life, we need to be rich in faith. You know, people in this room, a lot of us will never be rich in money, okay? But we can be rich in faith. Because the money's going to burn one day. You know that, right? I mean, in the end, money's temporary. But our faith, our walk with God, those are things that's putting treasures up in heaven as we walk with God and obey Him and serve Him. And that is not a place where rust corrupts or moths eat. That's going to be stored for us, taken care of for us by the Lord, and will be there waiting for us when we come. I mean, but that's the choice of God. God made a choice, and you know what? He chose you. If you know the Lord today, He chose you. And you need to stop and think about that, because He doesn't choose everyone. And I'm not going to go into that deep. A lot of people, you know, they get into that predestination thing. I mean, we can argue that back and forth, but the bottom line is if you know the Lord, you've been chosen. And what a great thing that is, to be chosen. You ever be on a team or a club or some, or a bunch of people and no one wants to choose you? I mean, it makes you feel bad, right? I mean, like, wow. You know, because they look at you and they go, wow. You know, like, it'd be like if you were playing. I remember one time I was very young. I was like 8, something like that, 9. And I wanted to play football. And I went with all these kids to this place to play football. And nobody chose me. They didn't let me play. That was bad. I mean, I felt bad. I really wanted to play. Now, probably it was a good thing because they were way bigger than me. I probably got killed. But, you know, it felt bad. I know what it feels like to not be chosen. But if you know the Lord today, you've been chosen. And you're going to have victory over all this stuff. In the end, we have victory. Man, when God makes a choice, it's a good choice. And He chose you. That's a good choice. Don't sell yourself short. You are valuable. God chose you. You got purpose. God's got something for you. In this life and the next. Just, you know, encourage. Just be encouraged today, if nothing else. You've been chosen by God. So we see the choice of God, and we see the choice of the partial. The choice of the partial in 6a. He says, yet you dishonored that poor man. And so the partial is people who are showing partiality. They're favoring someone over another for whatever reason. It could be about money or it could be about whatever. Oh, I don't like people that wear green, you know, so I don't favor them anymore. Now all these people wearing green are like, oh, wow. You know? But, you know, we pick stupid things. And, you know, our world is divisive. People talk about unity. Think about this. I mean, in our country, it's, oh, we should all be one. And yet they insist on, well, I'm African American, or I'm Mexican American, or I'm Asian American, or, I mean, how about if we're just American?
Amen.
Now that would be unity. That would be real unity. Why do we got to put all the divisions in there? So it's really kind of, we defeat ourselves. And when we make all these categories, what we're saying is, well, I'm partial to that community or this community or that whatever, you know, however they divide, you know, older people, younger. I mean, it's always about, I mean, everything you fill out, right? It's asking you your age, your gender, your nationality, or how much money you make, you know. I mean, we are divided in so many ways, but God is a God of unity. And we got to get past all that stuff and just look at people for who they are. People. Created in the image of God, Jesus died for every one of us, and therefore we all have worth. Every single one of us has worth. And there's so many people in our towns and young people in our schools and stuff, and they think they have nothing, that you know, they're depressed. When you read the stats on suicide and things like that, you know, people are giving up. And that's a shame, because you know what? They have worth. Every single person has worth. And don't you think you don't have it? Because you do. You're created in the image of God. You have abilities and gifts. And yet, maybe you're not what you used to be. Who is? I mean, really? You know, you're kind of dying from the day you're born. Right? Every day? Every day you're closer to the end. Whether you're a 1 year old or 101 or 90 like my dad. You know, it was kind of funny. We had friends across the street. My parents and Mr. Cullen, I call him, lives across the street. They're the only two left of the original people that bought those houses new. And Mr. Cullen comes over and for the party kind of thing we had, and Mr. Cullen is 98 and my dad's 90 and they both can't hear. And so they're sitting there, you know, trying to have a conversation, you know. It was like, you know, it was funny. I mean, it was funny. It really was. Because they can both hear some, you know, but it's like, huh? Yeah, you know, and what'd you say? And then, you know, it was funny. But, you know, those two old guys, they have value. Even though, you know, they can't do a whole lot physically. In fact, Mr. Cullen, his son moved in with him to take care of him. And his son, he has two sons, and they were there. He has a daughter, too, that lives away. But the two boys are there, and they're there taking care of him. And you know, they just look out. And Mr. Cullen and my dad, they both look out for each other. And, you know, but those guys have worth. I mean, they started talking about stuff, and it was like, wow. I mean, they had knowledge. A lot of experience, you know, and so maybe they can't do the things they used to do, but boy, they still got a lot to contribute if you just want to sit down and listen. And so don't think you don't have anything to contribute, because you do. You do, until the day God calls you home. Then you're done, okay? Until then, you're not done. And so I want you to know, you're important, you're valuable. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Live in victory, because we do have the victory. So we have people that choose, you know, the partial choose. And it is a choice. You can choose to be partial, or you can choose to not be. But we see the choice of the partial there in the first part of 6. They dishonored. And then we see at the end of 6 and 7, we see the choice of the favored. Because it's interesting. He says, don't the rich oppress you? I mean, here these people are dishonoring a certain group of people and honoring these others. And then James says, don't these people that you're honoring, don't they oppress you and drag you into court? Don't they blaspheme the noble name that was pronounced over you at your baptism? It's kind of interesting because we see the choice of the favored. And a lot of times the favored choose to oppress and choose to do the things that James talked about here. And you know what popped into my mind when I read this? I was trying to think of an example. And you know what popped into my mind? Politicians. I mean, aren't they favored? I mean, we go to the polls and we vote them in. We're choosing them. And then what do they do? They promise you all this stuff, right? And then when they get there, what do? No. They do whatever they want. Pretty much. I mean, raise your taxes and all that. You know, talking about, leave California, less taxes. But they're doing that everywhere. But that was just the thing that thought, I mean, these are people that are favored and they get up there and they look good and they speak their flowery speeches and people get behind them and then they do whatever they want. Interesting. But they are making a choice too. So God makes a choice. People make a choice to either be partial or to be impartial, I guess, or prudent, really, which is the other half of this, to be prudent. But then there's those that are actually favored. They make choices too, because there are some good politicians. There are some good men and women that are up there trying to make a difference. And they're caught up in the system just as much as we are, But it's ironic, really. It is ironic that often the very ones who are shown favor choose to take advantage of those who favored them. It's ironic. So that's why I have irony for the partial. But in verses 8 and 9, we have insight for the prudent. He now gives, James just doesn't leave us there, praise God. He says, indeed, if you keep the royal law prescribed in the scriptures, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show favoritism, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. And so in verse 8 we have here, keeping the royal law. Keeping the royal law. He says, if you keep the royal law, love your neighbor as yourself. And here's the royal law. This is the passage I had Juan read. Pharisee goes to Jesus and he says, teacher, what's the greatest command? What is the biggest deal in all the scriptures? And Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, in another place, strength, he adds. And he says, that's the greatest command. And he says, that's the greatest, most important command. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, all the law and the prophets depend on these two commands. And what we have here is, you need to understand, he first stated, greatest command, our relationship with God. That's the vertical. Second greatest command, horizontal. The vertical drives the horizontal. If you got things right with God, you can actually have things right with people. If you don't have things right with God, you're going to have issues with people. Okay? So the vertical drives the horizontal. And Jesus, it's interesting. How many laws do you think we have in this country? I mean, good grief, right? I mean, you ever see the IRS code, and that's just the laws that govern taxes, federal taxes. That doesn't even count all the state. I mean, that thing's like this thick. And by the way, you're responsible to know every one of those. But, the point is, man, we got laws. We got laws about, you can't make a turn here or do there. And traffic laws. How big is the traffic law book? I mean, it's crazy, right? But you know what's interesting? If everyone lived by these laws, these two laws, we wouldn't need any of those other ones. I mean, why you wouldn't have to have a law about stealing? I mean, we got, how many categories of stealing do you think there is? There's like grand theft, petty theft, there's, I don't know, car theft, there's all these different laws regarding, you know, embezzlement, you know, embezzlement laws, insider trading laws, you know, all these laws that we have. You realize if we just treated people like we would want to be treated, and if we all just loved God, we wouldn't have to worry about stealing. We wouldn't have to worry about liars. We wouldn't have to worry about murderers. We wouldn't have to worry about covetousness or, you know, all these things. And all these laws would not be necessary. Problem is, we got human nature, right? We got sin nature. Kind of makes laws necessary. But Jesus is, you know, he said, you know, in the Word, this is it. If you love the Lord and love one another, it says all the law depends on these two commands. Everything falls on those two commands. And if we would just do that, man, how much better would it be in our world between people? It's interesting. He says we need to keep the royal law, but verse 9, breaking the royal law. I mean, because really that's our choice, right? You're either going to keep it or break it, right? It's one or the other. And he says, but if you show favoritism, and this is where it gets down to the reality of it. If you show favoritism, you commit sin. Ouch. I bet pretty much everyone in this room has shown favor at some time or another in their life. It says, if you do, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. Okay, two parts to this. First, you commit sin. There's those that commit sin, and then there's those that are transgressors. What's the difference? Okay, sin, when you look it up, this is what it means, missing the mark. That's what it means. God has a standard. He has a standard. He gave it to us in the Ten Commandments, essentially. That's the standard. And when we miss that, when we miss the standard, that's sin. Transgressors, on the other hand, willfully, that's the difference in the one. Because sometimes we sin, we don't even, you know, we get caught up in the moment. It's not like we were thinking about it, but then we reflect. You ever speak rudely to somebody and thought you were justified? Sure you have. Sure you have. But then you go later and you start thinking about it and you get convicted, don't you? And you're like, man, I need to go make that right. That's sin. That's just missing the mark. Hey, I, you know, in the heat of the moment, and I didn't really think. I said something I shouldn't have said. I need to make it right. But transgressors, and here's the difference between a sinner and a transgressor. Transgressor knows what he's doing. He willfully goes beyond God's limit. In one case, the sinner, you fall short. In the case of the transgressor, you go too far. You choose, you say, man, I know that's wrong, but you know what? I need to teach that person a lesson. I'm just going to set them straight. And you know that's not love your neighbor as yourself when you do that, right? Now, the Bible tells us speak the truth in love. So, no, that doesn't mean you lie to somebody to spare their feelings, but how you tell them the truth means everything, doesn't it? And sometimes we just want to get our point across. It's about us feeling vindicated or about us feeling justified in what we are doing, and it's not about them. But, you know, God's very clear. Yes, we do need to tell one another the truth, but we need to tell them in love. That's a person with feelings, and yeah, maybe you think they don't have feelings, but they are God's. They're in God's image, and God loves them, and God wants them to grow, you know, in knowledge of Him in some way. And so we need to understand that, that when we deal with people, we need to do it the right way. When we show partiality, it's not simply a lack of courtesy. It is a serious breach of God's love when we act that way. And so James is showing us that, you know, we really have a choice. We can keep the royal law or we can break the royal law. And we've all broken the royal law at one time or another. But the bottom line is, you ask God to forgive you, you make it right with the person, you go forward, and you live for Jesus, you know? And that's the prudent. That's insight for the prudent. We need to understand what we do when we do things. See, a lot of times we do things and we don't really ponder and stop and think about, what does God think about that? This passage is not just about being rich or poor in regard to money or position. The way we behave toward people reveals our heart. You ever see somebody, they get caught in the paper saying something? I mean, it's happening all the time. And they're like, oh, well, I misspoke. Well, why did it come out in the first place? Because that's what they really thought. And then now they're backpedaling and they're trying to dodge the bullet, so to speak. But our heart reveals us. The real issue is not wealth or poverty, but the condition of one's soul. The condition of one's soul. Look, it is possible to be poor in this world and rich in the next. You know, you may not have a lot here, but be rich in the next. And it's possible to be rich in this world and poor in the next. And that's going to happen to some people. Or you could be poor in both. You could be poor in spirit, but never come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then when time comes, you're going to be poor in the next world. Or you could be rich in this world and be rich in the next world. A lot of what happens in this world is determined kind of by our circumstances and decisions we make. And maybe we couldn't control a lot of that. And that's why we're where we are. And that, you know what? But the good news of this scripture is that has nothing to do with what's to come. Regardless of where you're at in this world, you can be rich in faith. And regardless of where you're at in this world, you can be rich in the next. You can inherit the kingdom of God. That's the promise James makes. Christian love is not about liking or agreeing with a person or even being a friend. You know, we come into contact with people all the time that are never going to be our friends. We may only meet them one time. Or it may be somebody that we just have nothing in common with, and so therefore we're never going to be like buddies. But that does not give us an excuse to treat them in any way other than what is pleasing for God, pleasing to God. It's not about liking or agreeing or even being a friend. Christian love means treating others the way God has treated me. And how did He treat us? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Boy, if God had treated us the way we deserve to be treated, woe is us. while we were yet sinners. And that's one of the greatest things ever. Do you realize you don't have to clean yourself up to approach God? That song, Just As I Am, it is really true. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This, regardless of what we had done, it could be the most vile thing. God's love stands true. Christ still died for me. And he's willing to forgive. Doesn't matter what you've done or how many times you did it. And you don't have to clean up. You don't have to stop doing whatever it was you were doing. Or you just come to him in faith and you know what? He forgives and accepts. He is a most gracious God. So he didn't wait for us to clean up because he knew we couldn't. You realize apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, that's Jesus speaking. Apart from him, we can do nothing. You realize you cannot clean up yourself. But once you get him and he's in you and you have the Spirit, things start cleaning up, don't they? And you've experienced that. If you know the Lord, you've experienced that. You're not perfect, but you're definitely better than you were. Because he's been doing stuff in you. And because all of us are on this path, okay, we're in this process. Maybe it's a better word. We're in this process that's called sanctification, where God is making us into the image of his Son. It's a process. And we tend to forget that all these other people that maybe aren't treating us right or whatever, they're in that process too. They just may not be as far along as us. And so we should just love them like Christ loved them, treat them right just like Christ would treat people right, and trust God for the result. You know, our problem is we want to see results. I can't believe that guy says he's a Christian. He's been in the church all this time and he still does this. Who are you to judge that? God is able to take care of his kids. I don't know about you, but I got my hands full taking care of me. I can't be worried about straightening out all these other people, okay? And it's like when I counsel people, I give them God. I give them Bible. Because God's the one that's going to change them, not me or my wisdom. It's going to be him and his wisdom and his Spirit is going to change people. So when you got that person in your life and you're just kind of not partial to them, just realize that God's got them. It's not on you. It's on him. His timing, his way. His timing in my life was, he waited till I was 32. And some people, I mean, they're like 80 or 90. It's God's timing. And so we need to be prudent and not partial. And be part of the... Well, I was once told, you know, don't ever get in a situation unless you're part of the problem or part of the solution. You know? I had someone come to me one time and said, you know, that person's kids, you know, they're really out of control. They need help. I go like, are you part of the problem? No. Are you part of the solution? No. Then you need to leave it alone. It's not your business. You know? Are you willing to get involved in their life? No. Well, then why are you coming to me? We need to be prudent. Yeah, praying for people. Yeah, see that family? Maybe they got some issues. Pray for them. You know? But don't be partial. Be prudent in what we do. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If we are truly Christ's followers, we should treat others as Jesus did. If we're truly his followers, need to go the second mile. And that's what Jesus said. Turn the other cheek, you know. They don't treat you right, that's okay. Hey, don't stick your head out there to get hit, but you know, just let God deal with them. And if God gives you an opportunity to share something out of His Word, then share it. And if not, just pray for Him. Treat others as Jesus did. Man, he was with a lot of people that did a lot of bad things, and he forgave them and tell them, you know, go and sin no more. You know? Now, we don't have the power to forgive, like for sin, but we can certainly love them and turn them to the one who does have the power. Are you partial or prudent? The answer is in your heart. I'm going to have an invitation. And I've got a simple question. There could be someone here that I got this question for you based on what the subject matter was about. Are you going to be rich in the next world? That's the question for you. Are you going to be rich in the next world? Because really what we're doing here in this world, we can do some good things, we can do some not so good things and all that, but where are you at with God? Where are you at with Jesus? What have you done with Jesus? And that's really the one thing that every single person that has ever lived is going to have to kind of answer to that. Because it's like what you do with Jesus determines the next world. You either accept Him or reject Him. You either live for Him or you live without Him. And the final is not good if you don't have Him. For the rest of us, how are you at loving your neighbor as yourself? If you're like me, you got some work to do. Because I have to admit, I'm a little partial at times. It's just true. It's just truth. And we got to work on this, folks. We need to grow in this area. James knew it. That's why he wrote it. God had him write it in His Word for us. Because you see, there's people in this world today that are not as lovable as others, and yet God loved them as much as He loved you. And we are His representative, and we just need to show care and love to them, regardless of what it is that they represent. Do we need to grow in that area? If we can have every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there anybody here today that would say, Brother Mike, my problem is not all the rest of it. My problem is I'm not rich for the next world. I'm stuck here. I don't have the Lord. I need Jesus in my life. And God has revealed that to me today. If you're like that, would you please slip your hand up? I just want to pray for you. I just want to pray for you. If there's anybody like that. Amen. God bless you. I see that. You can be rich in the next world. It's a decision you must make. And I pray you'll make that decision this morning. You can put your hand down. It's for the rest of us. How many would say, I need to grow a little bit in this area of dealing with other people? Anybody like that? I just need to grow. I'm not even going to get specific. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. I know. We need to start looking at people the way God does. And He gave His Son for them. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I come before You. And I ask You, Lord, to do something in our hearts, Lord. Do something where we will look at Your people, that Your creation, the ones You created in Your image, Lord, that we would begin to look at them just like You do. May we be more like You in this area. And Lord, for anyone that they've never made a decision for You, or they've come to realize, Lord, that that they need you in their life. I pray, Lord, that today would be the day of salvation. I pray, Lord, that you would move on their heart, Lord God, that you would that you would work in them and Lord, compel them, Lord, to get that taken care of, for we don't know if we have tomorrow. And Father God, I pray, Lord, for our church. I pray for those ladies down there in Murrieta. I pray you'd bless them, Lord. I pray you'd watch over them, bring them home safely. Lord God, pray for our church that we would be a greater light to the lost, to the people that need you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would use our church in a mighty way in this area of just loving our neighbor, Lord. Just loving our neighbor. And Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time. If you want to respond, you come up here. We'll pray with you. We'll talk with you. Whatever it is you need, the Lord wants to do something in your life. You take care of it. This is your opportunity. We come before you thankful that you do love us unconditionally. Thankful, Lord, that you gave your Son for us, that we would have riches in the next world. Lord God, help us all to realize we are valuable, that we are precious to you, that we have purpose, that you have a plan in our lives. Lord, help us to grow in love and unity. And Lord God, I pray for those that don't know you, Lord, I pray that they would make a choice for you this day, that you would become part of their life this day. Lord God, we come before you and just bear ourselves to you and ask you, Lord, to do a mighty work in us, that you would be glorified, that people would come to see you through us, Lord, through this church, this body of believers here, Lord, that we would have impact in Phelan and beyond for your glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.